Welcome everyone to session 13 of Ontology Summit 2014. Today is Thursday, April 10th, 2014, and the agenda for today is focusing in on the communique draft review. Leo and I have taken a round of trying to synthesize the syntheses and to craft the communique out of all the different inputs that have been provided. In some cases, we've just taken excerpts from the track synthesis pages and put them in here. In other cases, we've done some other additions. But again, all the track champions are considered to be, you know, co-authors, co-editors of the document. So that's kind of why we're taking that. A lot of the text, if you're a track champion, you may see some pieces of text that are very familiar because those have been taken from your synthesis pages. And like I say, you're also co-editors of the entire communique. So the agenda for today is to just have an overview of this rough draft, in particular discussing some things that are missing from the current draft, in particular the bottlenecks and barriers section. A third item will be to identify any missing material or ideas that need to be emphasized, maybe ideas that are not sufficiently emphasized here, and to provide the appropriate emphasis for those ideas. Next, to discuss the recommendations. So the recommendation section so far is empty. We have some recommendation subsections, and so I wanted to kind of talk about, like, are there some global recommendations that we want to have for the entire communique? And then finish up with some action items. So if people access at the top of the agenda for today, top of the chat, sorry, Peter has posted both PDF link as well as the Google Docs link, that where you can get a hold of the current draft of the communique. So I thought we'd just do a quick run through of this and then move on to the discussion. And like I said, for the discussion, what I want to tackle first are the bottlenecks and barriers section, because Matthew's only here for half an hour. Amanda?
Quick logistics thing. If people leave comments while they're showing as anonymous, with the different animals and so forth, that's what their comments will be attributed to, even if they're signed in with Google or whatever. And so that'll be hard to get clarification later. So you may want to ask people if they check the little join chat thing, they can become non-anonymous and thereby have their comments attributed to them.
Right.
And follow upable, I think.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
So.
Sorry, say that again.
Where is join chat again?
Actually, now I'm not sure that's the right thing.
Just a show chat.
Show chat, right.
It is the right thing. I've just tried it and turned into a non-anonymous, so I think it's right.
Okay. So even though it looks, yeah. And you can minimize. It opens up a chat window, so it's right next to you, right next to the comments thing is a like little chat square to the left of it.
Oh, okay.
If you press,
right. Okay, got it.
And then you can minimize the actual chat window, but I think it makes you no longer anonymous in the...
Now I should be able to look at the viewers list, and I should be on the viewers list.
I'm not sure that worked, but...
Steve, you're okay. You're down on the list. If you click on the little down arrow next to all the animals, you're on that list.
Who's you?
You see.
You say you're on the list.
Yep, I can see you on the list.
You can see Steve Ray on the list?
Yeah, I can. If you, there's a little, you see all the animals. And on
yeah,
the
yeah,
right,
I think you don't,
down,
on that.
I think you don't see
arrow.
Yourself, Steve.
Yeah, you don't see yourself.
You don't see yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Can someone see me? I just clicked the chat thing. Can someone see me? I'm Matthew West.
If that's Matthew speaking, I can see Matthew.
Okay, great. That's okay.
Can you see me?
I can see you. Yes.
And Michael.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it works.
Okay.
Yes,
it does.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
So show
chat.
I'll
put that in the chat.
Amanda, that was helpful.
Yeah, Amanda, could you capture that onto the chat?
Yes,
I mean, our usual chat room as well for future reference.
Got it halfway typed in now.
Andrew, you have a comment?
Yeah, I was curious when you guys pulled the content from the synthesis pages, because Track A has updated its content, and I wasn't seeing some of the new stuff.
It would have been done Tuesday, Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, I think the last updates were Monday. Okay, thanks.
So again, if there's things that are missing that you don't see there, like I said in the open discussion section of today, I want to kind of make sure that there's you know, that gets added in. So like an overall comment, I mean, the communique is not just the union of all of the kind of the different synthesis pages. What we're trying to do is to kind of craft a nice story to tell that then kind of hits all the highlights. And so, yeah, we're not kind of aiming for just the union of everything. It's also, we all want it to flow. But that has to be balanced with, if, you know, you as a track champion feel that there's something that deserves a lot more emphasis that's kind of being neglected perhaps in the current draft, then that's one of the things we want to talk about today and make sure that it gets put in there. And then, you know, we can discuss, like, where does it get put in and how and things like that.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Okay, so if we kind of just get started here. So, I mean, we basically took the introduction and scope from, you know, kind of the basic intro and abstract for the entire summit, and kind of pulling everything together. You know, like I said, this isn't supposed to be somehow isomorphic to the organization of the summit, but we found that there were kind of three key areas that were, you know, had a rough correlation with the tracks, but that were kind of a little bit independent. So one was focusing in on the shareability and particularly the reusability of ontologies, particularly in the light of semantic web and big data applications. So focusing in on reusability as an idea. A second area was addressing the question of, well, how? So the first question is asking, like, what ontologies are there and what's being reused? The second idea was more focusing in on, well, how are these ontologies actually being used in these different applications? And then a third kind of idea was, well, given that we've already discussed then, you know, what's being reused and how is it being reused and how is it being used, what are some of the barriers and bottlenecks and obstacles that kind of have arisen in the context of those two questions? And that kind of becomes the next big idea. So you can kind of see how the first area has a very close correspondence to track A. The second area has a very close correspondence to track B and D. And the third idea has a close correspondence to track C. But, you know, it's not like these are clean things. I mean, the ideas were popping up all over the place, but these are the three main things that we were putting all the writing into. So for section two, is focusing on the idea of shareable and reusable ontologies. And it seemed like one of the big issues that was coming out of track A was, you know, why is there not more ontology reuse? And so section 2.1 is kind of considering various, possible reasons why there's not more reuse and addressing, to what extent is current work, kind of trying to, support reuse in the face of that potential objection. So one thing was, well, maybe there's a mismatch, you know, that the ontologies that people are building are not the ontologies that people need to be using, are not the ones that people want to use and need to use in their applications. And so there's a discussion about how some of the ideas we talked about this year are addressing the problem of mismatching. Section 2.12 is looking at, well, you know, maybe the ontologies exist, but it's difficult to find them. And so what ideas are we exploring to make it easier to find ontologies? The third aspect was, well, you know, maybe, you know, it's just these ontologies exist, but there's some issues about them, you know, like Goldilocks. Oh, this one's too big. This one's too hot. This one's not soft enough, sort of idea. And so various issues arose there. Another potential reason why ontologies aren't being reused is because it still requires integration, and integration might be just as difficult as designing a new one. And then the final idea here was, you know, well, maybe it's just easier to design a new ontology rather than spending the time to not only find the ontologies, but also understand what they're about and modify them potentially. And so reuse is just too difficult, even though it's put possible in practice. And then we finished up this section with some of the recommendations towards best practices that arose out of some of the track A and C discussions. So then section three was looking, instead of looking at reuse, was looking at use. And so two main questions here were, you know, what ontologies are actually needed by big data and semantic web applications. So that's section 3.1. And section 3.2 is kind of looking at, well, how are they kind of actually being used, particularly from this idea of kind of expressiveness, the idea of lightweight versus heavyweight foundational ontologies, and what's the appropriate kind of ontology to be using, and how can there be multiple versions of an ontology in various languages that can kind of be more used in a more agile way. And there was, again, several, and then scalability, which was another kind of aspect that came up in both B and D, tracks B and D, where, you know, is that really one of the fundamental kind of challenges in ontology use in big data and web applications? Is just the sheer scale. So not just the variety problem, but also the volume and velocity problems kind of are factors there. And then we finished up this section with some kind of questions, fundamental questions that arose directly from those kinds of discussions. Section four was meant to be addressing some of the barriers and bottlenecks to either to reuse, to use, but also towards design. And one of the challenges that we had here, and I'll just kind of briefly mention it, finish this review, and then we can come back to this. One of the challenges that we had here was that just the sheer variety and breadth of discussions that were on the synthesis pages made it really challenging to try to come up with that extra level of distillation. A lot of questions were raised here, but we weren't sure about like what content we wanted to have. So this is one big objective for today, is to have a discussion over what do we want to see here. It may in fact be the case that we have to refactor, and that what we end up having is maybe we address barriers to reuse in the reuse section, barriers to usability in the usability section. And maybe there's a third section, maybe called, related to ontology design and development. And we have all the other barriers and bottlenecks there. Or maybe something about like adoption the idea of having to do some refactoring. And then section five, we want this to kind of be the conclusion. So again, we haven't written the conclusions yet. We have some what we call challenge problems that I kind of like to see that, you know, these are ways in which, you know, some of the big challenges that arise and are identified in this summit and then can shape future work. But we don't have the recommendations, the overall global recommendations. And so that's something I want to discuss today. And then finally, at the very end here, we just tacked on just to remind ourselves, there were a number of issues that were raised in earlier synthesis sessions. And we want to kind of keep these here and make sure they get covered. And, you know, some things we might discuss today are any of these issues, something that we want to have more of a mention of. There should be some way of identifying these issues in the communique, and if they're not there, then let's, add the appropriate emphasis. So just because Matthew has to leave in about 20 minutes, I want to open it up now for discussion, but because Matthew has to leave in 20 minutes and he's the, the only track C champion who's online right now, we could maybe start the open discussion with barriers and bottlenecks. So Matthew, if you want to maybe start off with some comments, and then people can other people can join in, again using the hand button on our summit chat window. So Todd, I want to give Matthew first call, and then we'll come to Todd. Matthew, are you there? Peter, did you mute everybody or?
Several people who were generating background noises were muted.
Okay.
Most people aren't. So,
okay. Is Matthew,
so try to unmute your own phone first. If it doesn't work, then
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, Matthew.
Okay, sorry. Yes, I must have got muted. Yes, I agree that we came up with an eclectic lot of stuff. in barriers and bottlenecks. That's just how it is, I think. There are lots of bits and pieces, but there are two clear themes to overcoming barriers and bottlenecks, one of which is reuse, and the other one of which is automation. And I haven't done an analysis of what would be left if you took all the things that were either reuse or automation out of it. But I had thought that one of the sections would be about tools. There would be, for particularly overcoming bottlenecks, one of the ways you can do that is to reuse rather than reinvent. Although we've seen from what's earlier that reuse isn't always a panacea by any means. But for sure, automation is a good way of overcoming bottlenecks when you found them. If something is tedious and time-consuming, if you can automate it, it's usually less time-consuming and at least not tedious anymore. So there were quite a few things. I thought there was a track that was looking at tools. Or did I get that wrong? Or is that the hackathon that's been looking at? Hackathons.
Track B, was looking at, using ontology tools and services, et cetera.
Okay.
What I hear you saying, though, is that maybe, to do the refactoring proposal in the sense of add in the barriers and bottlenecks for reuse in the reuse section, but actually have a separate section which focuses in on automation and tools.
Certainly I think automation and tools should be a specific section.
Okay.
And I would be inclined to put a paragraph or two, I mean probably about what you've got in the introduction to barriers and bottlenecks, actually further up and say that one of the key things that we're trying to do in the summit is look at barriers and bottlenecks and note that, and then you can use that to introduce reuse and that very often reuse and automation and tools are ways which we use to overcome them, and just mention it somewhere up the front about that. And then in particular look for barriers and bottlenecks that aren't related to factor the ones that are about reuse and automation into the tools and make the tools automation and tools. And then anything that isn't, have say something about other barriers and bottlenecks were, sort of thing.
Right.
I think that would be how I'd be inclined to do it, because the ones that aren't reuse and automation might merit some additional look. And what I'm not sure is whether there actually are any that aren't those two things.
Right. No, that'd be nice. A good way.
And
to
if you're
that.
Looking at where the priorities are, I would look at the two presentations. To the synthesis sessions.
Okay.
Because that's where we made our cut about what we thought was key.
Right, okay.
I think we were reasonably diligent about those.
Yeah, you're right. Your slides from the second session of synthesis were actually very nice. So we'll focus on those.
Yeah, and go to the synthesis page on the wiki if looking for where that came from. What was the provenance for all that stuff? But in the slides, we would have added our own gloss as well to what we were, so there's actually a bit more synthesis in the slides than in the even on the synthesis page.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No. That helps a lot. So I think the decision will be to do. The bit of say what we're calling refactoring. So we'll replace the barriers and bottlenecks section with something that's more explicitly about tools and automation tools, and kind of basically have discussion of barriers and bottlenecks in different sections as they're relevant to that particular topic. So barriers to reuse, barriers to use, overcoming barriers.
And then say something in the introduction or there that says one of the things that we're looking at in particular are barriers and bottlenecks. Because we think this will, where we can identify these and how to overcome them, we think this is what will be useful for you.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic.
But otherwise, I think that's because I agree that I've actually found it quite disjointed. I don't quite know how to put it. A little bit unsatisfying that it really has been very bitty, the bottlenecks and barriers. I was kind of expecting that there would be, you know, something fairly clear that came out and you saw the same patterns repeating. And really, we didn't. Just saw lots of different stuff.
Do tune in again.
Okay, great. Todd.
I'm going to have to go now. So
thanks, Matthew.
We'll speak to you soon, and I'll have a look at the other stuff. Oh, the only other comment I had briefly looking at this was that when it's roll your own time, that you should add something that says that when you do choose to roll your own, you are of course adding to the spaghetti rather than improving the spaghetti you've already got.
Mm.
But that's the only other thing I would say.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe you just just capture that just before you leave. And
yeah,
then,
I'll do that. Thanks. Okay. Speak to you all soon.
Thanks, Matthew. Okay, Todd, go ahead.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
First of all, I didn't get a chance to read the draft communique, so I can't say too much about that currently. But I do want to say a little more about this term reuse.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit in the chat box about that. There seems to be an implicit assumption that reuse means you just take this ontology and you just chunk it in with little or no changes. That's one particular, that seems to be the current implicit interpretation of reuse. And I just want to point out that there's other notions of reuse where that first case, use case I gave, is not what is. So for instance, one of the use cases that I find very relevant in my own work or prevalent or popping up is that I see an ontology, a lot of it's crap, but there are some good notions in there that I can make use of. I can't make use of the ontology directly for all sorts of reasons, whether it's the representation language, the way that they structured the names and such, the labels that is, but that there are notions in there that I need to represent that I've forgotten about, or they have a better way of representing them with more fidelity or something. So that's a different notion of reuse, another use case if you like, and I'm sure there's others, but that whole issue of not describing what is meant by reuse, I think, is going to be a detriment to readers of the communique.
Okay, right. So maybe Andrea can help out there with actually extracting some of the text that was kind of the discussion about exactly what reuse is. There is not intended to be the idea that reuse is only reuse as it is. I mean, there is discussion about how to, you know, there could be issues that prevent reuse, so it's incomplete, or it's, you have to take just part of it, it's modules, it's not quite in the right form, although it doesn't include what you're just saying there, which is more like reuse by inspiration. So I don't think it's quite as bad as you think it is, but that just still speaks to the fact that there needs to be a more explicit discussion about what exactly reuse is, or at least the scope of reuse in this document. Andrea.
I'll take that action and just add a comment related to the document and where it fits, because I really wanted to include some definition of reuse. And I'll make sure, Todd, that your viewpoint is included.
Yeah, we certainly intended it much more broadly than what Todd was assuming on reading it. So the question of the reading rather than the intention, I think.
That's right, yeah, and I had not intended that either. So, like I say, if people are getting that impression, then we need to prevent that misconception from happening in the first place. So
that's great.
Okay, right, yeah. So we definitely need a more explicit description of reuse there. So given that, say now we have some of the Track A champions here. Is there something else that you think is being underemphasized, or something that's outright missing that you feel is like one of the key insights of Track A that's not there.
Well, I know Peter said we should have sent out an email to the group that we have updated our recommendations. I think that happened on Wednesday. I think Mike did that. And I kind of saw kind of how you had the flow going, so I don't really want to add all the – we had a separate section on best practices that went into more detail.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to put some more information in the recommendations that you could use.
Okay, that'd be great. And go ahead.
Yeah, just to say, I keep getting cut off the chat, so I've twice now tried to say to Andrea's 11:40.
Oops, we lost you. Mike, are you there?
He got disconnected.
Oh, okay. Andrea, I'll also go back and take a look and see if there's been other updates on the recommendation section and try to incorporate those as well.
Yeah, Mike Bennett is back.
Sorry, I've got such a slow connection that I'm alternating between being cut off from Skype and being cut off from the chat. So on the third try, I managed to say what I said in the chat. That was all I was trying to say because it wasn't taking it. Thanks.
Steve, go ahead.
He said he's already said it in the chat.
Oh. Is this about the access? Because I'm looking here and it says anyone with this link can access and make comments. Anyone who has the link can comment. And
you have to click on join chat.
Yeah, we recommend people join chat first so that the contribution can be attributed and then click on comment and start commenting.
Okay, let's see. Let's go through. So just kind of following up on Andrea's comment at 49 minutes. A lot of time spent on defining the conditions for reuse and best practices. So, like I said, if we can get some of the additional material for the definition of reuse that people are using here and a little more detail on best practices, I think that that will be something we can add indefinitely.
Yeah, and I can make some specific recommendations on where to look for you so you're not kind of all over, having to go read everything again.
Great, thanks. There's one discussion here from Henson about the ordering of the sections. Should use come before reuse? So do people have strong kind of opinions there? I mean, to some extent, they came in that order just because, I was more inspired by track A when talking about reuse, and A came before B. If people feel that there should be more of a discussion on the ontology use before, go ahead, Henson. We can't hear Henson.
Use.
Oh, there you go. We can hear you now.
Is that as a public document, you would want to establish first how it's used, why we need it, things like that, before you get down into the issues of how to best do it and what are the bottlenecks and what's hard. That is, as a management guy, I might say, well, why do I need this? As opposed to, what are the problems with using it?
You want to address the question of why ontology should be used at all?
Well, you need at least some, it doesn't require a lot of effort, but you need to say, in some way, why they make sense, or why it makes sense in this, web context, big data context, and so on. You can't just totally assume that.
Okay,
people understand that.
Just to clarify here, so you want to have more of a discussion on why ontologies are needed for
a deep discussion, but just in the introduction or in an introductory section.
Mm-hmm.
You want to lay out that we're looking at this because they are being used, they're useful, they are needed, potentially needed, and so on.
Okay, so we'll add that in. That sounds good. You are advocating also something like switching sections 2 and 3 around. I mean, you're advocating maybe switching sections 2 and 3 around. Is that still correct?
That's right, because from the top down point of view, it's why you need it or what's good about it and all of that, and flowing down to the more specific issues. That is, for people in this group, I understand that the reuse issue is probably primary and so on, but for a more general audience, that would not be where I would start.
Okay. Other comments on this? Christoph, you might need to locally unmute.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Okay. I should say about Tools being a Track B champion. Well, I think Section 3 goes into some details which we would not necessarily need earlier in the document, but in any case, at the very least, I think there's you compiled a very nice introduction to this using ontology section in Section 3.1, what ontologies are needed, and you could rephrase the question as why are ontologies needed or are ontologies needed at all. I think the content of this section answers such questions, and this would in any case be a very good introduction to come before reuse. Otherwise, I don't have any strong opinions on whether to have tools before reuse or not.
Okay, what we'll do is we'll kind of switch more or less. I mean, we may do some other more significant restructuring, but the idea basically, is to have more introductory discussion on why ontologies are needed in semantic web big data applications, and then to go from there right into the questions of what ontologies are used and how are they used, and then have then the following section then talking about reuse. So reuse comes after that. Okay, sounds good. So Christoph, I'll just ask you then, since we have you right here, are there aspects and ideas that came up in Track B that you think are being missed? I saw your one comment on mentioning onto IOP. I think that's a good idea. Yeah, I'll incorporate that. But are there other points that you feel like any key insights of Track B that are being overlooked anywhere in the communique?
So far, I haven't found anything. I think it's fine the way it is. You did a good job at compiling things.
Mm. Thanks. Okay, so then kind of along those lines, because like I said, some of the ideas from Track D got incorporated into these other two sections. And are there any key insights from Track D that are being overlooked in the current communique or emphasized?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, great. So I, like the person before me, I have not yet seen anything missing. I know Ken was going to write up a little bit more and put it in the summary, but he may have actually done that already. So I think we're probably all good, but maybe check with Ken to make sure, because he's been doing a lot for NIH lately.
Right. Yeah, and not just things that are missing, but maybe things that are kind of underemphasized. Like, you know, like I said, I was kind of trying to extract some of the key insights from each of the tracks, but I might have kind of overlooked something and thought, oh, yeah, that's an interesting point, but not made it a key insight. So it's also a question of emphasis, not just a question of being there. So something else to keep in mind. Okay. So then following up on Matthew's suggestions then, I think what we'll do is we'll have the new section 4 will be more focused on automation and tools. And the different discussions about what barriers and bottlenecks there are, I think will be moved to where it's relevant. Say, what are the barriers and bottlenecks to reuse, or what are the barriers and bottlenecks to actual use? Actually, so scalability, and I guess would in fact be one example of that sort of potential barrier. So we'll kind of do that bit of refactoring and say the new section 4 will focus more on automation and tools. Coming out of these, again, anybody, you know, in any of the tracks, what are some of the key ideas that we would want to see about automation and tools in such a section? You know, beyond, again, extracting some of the content from the synthesis of track C, but from the perspectives of the other tracks, what are some of the key ideas that you would like to see on the topic of automation and tools to appear in that section from your perspective? Torsten, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I just joined, so I might have missed some parts that were already discussed. But what I noticed from last week's presentation, especially I think from track B from Gary's presentation, was an emphasis on dealing like with the complexity and kind of trying to modularize ontologies and how to deal with that and how to, because at the moment we don't really have many tools available for that.
Mm-hmm.
It just stood out to me as one of the key challenges there for managing large ontologies and actually making them accessible to domain users.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, so that's something that's being underemphasized, I think, in the current section 2.1.3. So what I'll probably end up doing is section 2.1.3, I'm going to split up into issues like dealing with complexity and modularity, actually pulling that as its own subsection. The idea of modification, an incompleteness, that's another subsection of its own. I think what I'm calling now section 2.1.3 will probably be broken up so that some of those ideas can be more emphasized, because you're right, that idea in particular of complexity and modularity is getting lost there.
And also visualization with respect to the complexity.
Okay. Visualization, like along the lines of, I guess it was Till's talk in one of the track B sessions.
I think there were two talks. I don't remember which ones.
So it's kind of the visualization, like what the visualization of how an ontology is kind of structured.
Yes, the structure.
Yeah.
Ontology.
So I'm jotting down notes here with, on this ancient technology called paper. What I'll do is I'll type up these notes and send them as a separate email to the summit list, and just to make sure that everyone can see that their suggestions are kind of how they're going to be incorporated. Let's see, there's one other thing. There's a lot of stuff that's been happening in the chat. I haven't been able to catch up yet. Are there things that people have said in the chat that we haven't actually discussed? So this is your opportunity to take the microphone and have a little bit more discussion on your point. I don't know, Terry, you've had quite a few comments. Did you want to say anything about that?
This is Terry.
Hi, Terry.
I think my comments pretty much speak for themselves. I'm just trying to elucidate some ways of describing reuse. And I think several people have got better ideas than I have. So that's all.
Okay. So, but then to summarize, then, like, all of your comments are related to the idea of having a more precise characterization of reuse and the context of it in the communique.
Right, and separating it from use more strictly.
Uh-huh.
Reuse and use shouldn't have the same or even overlapping meanings, I think.
Okay. Good point. Steve. Can't hear you. Steve?
Okay.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to briefly expand on a comment I put on 2.1.2, which was from experience with some of my students. It's the same issue with software engineering, which is students go out and they find a fragment of either code or, in this case, an ontology from some random unknown place. A student found an ontology on location, but with no knowledge of whether it was a good one or a bad one, just stuck it in, imported it into an ontology we were building together. So I was just thinking, I know that the repository notion is obviously going to try and help with that, but I think we might want to make that a little more explicit of some sort of score or endorsement or, you know, Yelp rating kind of thing. Saying this is a good ontology, this is really some random ontology, we don't know if it's any good.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I like that. Right. So it's the issue of the role of evaluation and quality in selecting for reuse.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think what you've written up had to do with the assumption sort of implies that the reader themselves is necessarily equipped to tell the good from the bad, you know, in their own judgment. But a lot of people who are going to be building ontologies aren't going to necessarily have those skills. And so they're going to rely upon other endorsements or other opinions.
Mm-hmm. So this is all really good. One thing I just want to maybe just raise, because several people have made kind of some of these comments before. So there's if you kind of look at the way that the document, a big chunk of the communique is talking about ontology reuse, and because it's a very significant sort of issue. But just in the context of the summit being semantic web and big data, does the discussion of reuse in particular in the communique and just the discussion of the communique in general, is there sufficient kind of detail related to semantic web big data applications there, or is this being written by some ontology guy who has blind spots to semantic web and big data concerns? Right, because you know the discussion of reuse and the different kinds of reuse and barriers to reuse, again, like very interesting. But I just want to make sure that there's a balance to there. And yes, Amanda, I was talking to you.
Considering that, I wonder whether Section 3 or parts of it should actually be up front.
Well, we're going to be switching section two. Moving a lot of Section 3. That's going to actually now be the second section. We're going to be swapping.
Okay. So I just missed that, and that was already going to happen. Okay, so that's good. There still is probably not enough, but I'll try to think more about specifically.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like, does there need to be more discussion about the, you know, the impact of reuse, more specifically in the context of
web? I think probably what there needs to be, and I'll try and capture this in a comment, is talk about to some extent we've heard a little bit about what kinds of, or what ontology features are useful in those contexts. I'm thinking of, you know, Chris Welty's talk. I'm thinking about Michelle's talk with the tactical tactical ontology composition, sort of. But there's also this aspect that ties to what is currently section 2.1.2. And the fact that when one is browsing various ontologies, the specific data about the ontology features that are relevant to these uses is not easily obtainable.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, so, capture that in the chat.
Okay.
I'll make sure I get that. Okay, great. Todd, your hand was up earlier, or did Amanda answer or ask your question?
Well, no, the question I had to do with the question that you were asking, and it was clarified in the conversation with Amanda, that is the reuse of ontologies in the context specifically of big data, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I want to make sure that that's not being lost, and so...
Was it ever explicitly addressed?
Well, I'm just asking, just to confirm, like, is that's something that's missing in this current draft. That's something that needs to be emphasized that's not being sufficiently emphasized. Because to some extent, a lot of the discussion that came out of Track A was indeed about reuse in general, without necessarily saying, oh, you know, here's reuse in the context of the semantic web, or here's barriers to reuse arising from big data, variety sort of thing. But I'll just try to kind of make sure that has a more prominent.
Were there any presentations explicitly talking about reuse or referred to reuse in the context of big data? I don't recall myself.
I don't think so.
So you have to wing it?
I think that actually some of Chris Welty's, maybe it wasn't as explicit as it could be, but he did talk about they're using a lot of existing ontologies, but not using particular aspects of them. You know, not using.
Yeah,
them.
And.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Michel Dumontier also talked about big data and reuse in the Track A discussion.
Okay. I'll make sure I revisit their notes in particular. Steve, you had your hand up before too.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
I took it down, but I just was going to say I was a little surprised and dismayed to see how a lot of students today seem to both write code where they're just off there on like Stack Overflow or something looking for a fragment of code that someone else wrote. And they just run it, and if it seems to do what they like, regardless of side effects or anything else, they stick it in their program. And by the same analogy, my student was literally just on Google looking for, you know, ontology location, because he was looking for any ontology that included location. And the first one he came across said, well, that has the word location in it, so it must be an ontology in location, import. And I'm afraid that is going to be more often than not the way some people end up designing their systems. I'm not talking about professional, major systems with a lot of controls, but the populace, if we expect this to be a popular thing. So that's where I'm trying to see if we can raise up the idea that, you know, just like a physical artifact designer, you want to take, you know, certified designs, if you're going to put them in your major own design.
So it's almost kind of like having a bad practice, namely reuse by keyword.
Exactly. And so a bad ontology could propagate through all kinds of other ontologies simply because it's out there.
Yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
Yeah.
Steve, the scenario you just described is not design. That's actually implementation. Minor point, but important.
Design of the ontology is what I was thinking of.
Okay. Well, that's not what you referred to or described.
Well, no, I think you were describing an analogy.
An analogy on a physical system. But
yeah.
On the analogy on software coding, you're right. That wasn't. Well, then a lot of times people don't even design the software code. Some people have observed. They just start coding.
Really?
Really.
The other thing is some of the Track A recommendations, and I put this in the note right now in the chat, we actually recommend that you look at the content to make sure you address your competency questions. We make sure that you don't just jump into reuse early in the life cycle. And, you know, those are kind of some of our top three recommendations. So we could actually have anti-recommendations and say, don't use keyword search blindly.
Michael,
go ahead, Todd.
That would be good.
I have another annoying question about reuse. It just occurred to me when Andrea was talking. Are there aspects of reuse that are modified by the scale and or fidelity of the domain you're trying to represent? So that is, if you're doing some little web application that's going to do, comments or something like suggestions or whatever, or restaurant menus, you not need a lot. But if you're going to do something like control a nuclear reactor or medical research or robotics at distance, your fidelity needs to be much greater. And hence the issue of reuse, or what you can reuse, or how much you can reuse, or the amount of effort that has to go into possibly reusing is different.
Right.
So is that something that we should address, or just ignore?
I think it's something interesting to raise. I don't think we have any answers for that, but I think that could be, again, some of these bigger questions about are there aspects of reusability that are influenced by scalability? So the interactions between the different barriers, that's an interesting point.
Infidelity.
Yeah, okay.
So, it might be small, but it has to be very detailed, or vice versa. So there's multiple dimensions that you could think about.
Right.
Or use as criteria.
Right. Okay. If there aren't any other big global questions about missing material or underemphasized material, maybe we could move on to discussing the recommendations. I think Rom, I didn't actually explicitly say this, but let's see, where did Rom say this here? At 5 minutes after the hour, so it's 13:05 Eastern Time, Rom was saying, I think the recommendation section should probably say something that the reader can take away with. We should provide some answers based on the presentations and the tracks and the questions posed in this section. So, I agree with the first half of that. We want these recommendations to be, some of the things that people walk away with, and, being a kind of a summit to have that sort of thing. I think but on the other hand, I think the questions in 5.2 are bigger than we can actually answer at this point. That's why I call them challenge problems. I think they're ones that we've touched on, but we really, don't necessarily have a definitive answer for. Or that's how I was kind of thinking of them. But definitely the recommendations we want to be sort of the take-home thing. So I guess my question to everyone. Okay, Rom, go ahead. You might be muted. We can't hear you. No, still can't hear you. Okay, now
can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry, I was under mute. Okay. So the key issue is the following. Like you have the questions you posed are very good. So what we can do with those questions is that I know that we cannot answer those questions right away, because if we had answered that, we have solved all the problems. So what we can talk about is that based on the deliberations during the virtual sessions, what can we answer those questions and what needs to be done? Like the what is the current state and what are the future action items in there?
Right.
For a research agenda for like funding agencies or whatever it is, like to for them to kind of for people to do work on for the future.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of, I wanted to kind of think of them as being, that's why I say it here, to focus and guide future collaboration among all the different communities.
Yeah.
So what should we have in terms of the recommendations, though?
Because in terms of Michael, again, for example, did we actually get representation from all these communities? Okay, that's question number one, because most of the track sessions that we had and things like that, if you go through all the track sessions, I missed some of them. Do we have a complete coverage? Not even a complete coverage. Do we have a representation from each of the communities? Reasonable representation, let me call it that way. Okay. If not, then I don't know what statements are we have to be a little careful about what statements we make.
I think at the end, we did have representation from each of the communities. Yes.
Yeah. If that is the case, then we take the best whatever we have and then say that, okay, now from what, these are the things, questions, grand challenge questions, and these are the partial answers we could get, and these are the things that we need to address. Okay.
Mm.
Need not be too long, but in page should be okay, summary.
Right, yeah, and I kind of agree with you that section 5 is conclusions and recommendations. So, there is a summary, of conclusions we will make, like a summary of the communique at this point. But I agree with you that the recommendations we want to be something kind of a little more prominent, not just, okay, now this communique is over, but it's, like you say, the takeaway things, like, what kind of make this some of the big insights and recommendations, insights we have for what's happening now and recommendations for how to guide things in the future. So, I'm not really sure what to put there. And maybe my problem is that I kind of incorporated a lot of the recommendations in the various sections. And maybe all we need to do is, again, a little bit refactoring and say, pull the recommendations out of section 2 and put them here, and pull the recommendations out of section 3 and put them here. Maybe that's adequate.
Yeah, I mean, at least that should be good.
So, Peter, you put a comment in the chat here. You want to kind of reiterate it again?
Yeah. It's the same comment from last week, I think. I still don't think we sort of convincing enough to the big data community. And by that, I am especially pointing to those in data analytics, which makes up the bulk of today's commercial applications. And we know, I mean, between most of us here, we know ontology can help a lot. But I don't think they know, and they're not even interested. I mean, they're not even paying attention. I look through the list of people who are here, and I can't even tell. I mean, if we call out people to say, I mean, you're in data analytics, tell us what you think. I don't even know any name. That is maybe the one question mark I don't know is maybe Ed Bernard from CSC. At least he is in applications, and maybe I'm not sure, I don't know Ed enough to know if his work is related to big data, but I think we could do more, and that was the part I was hoping, that we were hoping Anne and Ken might maybe put in a bit more, since we missed sort of pulling them into the virtual sessions. And on the contrary, we actually will be having great representation on big data at the symposium. But unfortunately, the symposium will be too late to contribute to the communique, so we need to advance that.
But what exactly though are we do you think we're missing with big data? Like where would these additional contributions go? Are you saying there's like a whole section missing? Are you saying like all the way throughout or in just the recommendations? Like what do you think is something concrete that might be missing?
I think if I were in data analytics and I even took the time to read through the document now, I won't be convinced that this is something I really need to pay, ontology is something I really need to pay attention to. I don't know how to say it.
But see, again, we kind of restricted ourselves, I mean, just in the name of track D, that we're kind of focusing more on the variety problem within big data. I mean, we can maybe emphasize that a bit more.
I mean, even in the variety problem, I mean, definitely. I mean, if we can't solve the scalability issue in the variety problem, I mean, we can still say a lot more. I mean, data analytics people definitely have a lot of challenges in variety.
Well, see, I mean, there's a bit of a catch-22 here in the sense of, I mean, this communique is meant to kind of be reflecting the summit and, you know, I'm not sure kind of making stuff up about the variety problem in big data and ontologies. I suppose we could add stuff in there, but it's kind of like a little odd thing because wasn't really covered in the summit if. Well, it was already covered, but then you seem to think it wasn't, or something completely new outside of the summit, which I'm just throwing in here because I'm the editor.
Let's ask around. I mean, since I don't know everyone who's on the call now, is anybody in sort of data analytics? And if you are, tell us what you think. Let's move on. Back to you, Michael.
Okay. So again, I guess just the question with recommendations. So, Amanda, go ahead.
maybe what we were just talking about it needs to be addressed directly. But that are still, I mean, we have we need to have the concrete recommendations, but we maybe need to address that there's still that there's an existing history of non-communication that needs to be overcome somehow.
Okay. No, that's good as a global recommendation. That's true. Yeah, I see what you mean. So yeah, kind of taking, you know, we're not going to be able to solve the problem right now, but we can at least identify it as being a problem and make it a recommendation that it be solved. Be addressed.
That more forums or platforms for interaction between the communities.
Dialogue. Yeah, dialogue. Yeah.
Well, dialogue, but also, I mean, so one of the things I just put in my comments on recommendations. And now, if I can find my comment, I just, you know, bulleted some off the cuff things, and one of the things I said is, I said the situation can be improved if SEMweb and big data developers identify the features that matter to them. Ontology developers and providers consider those features and design a methodology and provide metadata about them. Repositories support that metadata. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
But that's a very concrete, that's a concrete kind of thing that people might not think of as dialogue, but if the metadata, if the metadata support is there in the repository such that if somebody uses or evaluates an ontology, they can add that information to the metadata on that ontology, and other users like them then can possibly, you know, find that useful, and ontology providers can respond, etc. That that's something I think that people wouldn't necessarily call dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's more almost of a platform for more better interaction or more better communication.
Yeah. I think I see maybe where this can go. So if you just kind of say, look at the opening paragraph of the communique where we talk about, you know, the level of collaboration between Semantic Web and applied communities has been much less than expected. Within big data applications, ontologies appear to have had little impact. So if you kind of use the recommendation subsection in the conclusion to actually address those two points, like what recommendations can we have to change that situation? The more specific recommendations stay where they are and communicate. So more specific recommendations for reuse, more specific recommendations for tools, for use, etc. But the recommendations for the entire communique are focusing in on more on kind of community level issues.
Yeah.
How ontologies can.
Well, I think it's both at once, right? You can develop the requirements understanding and the methodology at the same time, you know, at the same time as the communication flow.
Yeah.
Or they can, get some kind of virtuous circle going on there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's brilliant.
I'll take, because you have some good material there, Amanda. Thank you, and that comment. And, if we think of the recommendations as being community level, then I think I have a much better idea of what we want to say there.
Mm-hmm.
Now is everyone's opportunity. This is like the best opportunity, to propose some of these recommendations. Amanda's done a fantastic job in her comment, but, you know, we have still some more time on today's call. Asking each of the 26 people here today, if you had to make one recommendation out of this summit, you know, what would it be? That's a semi-rhetorical question. You can answer it in the chat. You can raise your hand. You can add it as a comment to the document. Well, if we don't have too much other points with recommendations, we can start thinking about wrapping up for today. Just in terms of, let's see, action items. So Leo and I will be incorporating all the feedback and discussions and notes, suggestions, everything, both from the chat and from the comments. In particular, you know, again, everyone, the document is open for comments for everyone. And so please add your comments and we'll try to incorporate those. Just to sum up some of the major architectural changes to the document, like, so we're going to be switching around the reuse and use section. So the first section will be about use, second section about reuse, and then the third new section, which will be kind of automation and tools, particularly for overcoming bottlenecks. Because within each of the use and reuse sections, we will be identifying the bottlenecks more explicitly. So those are the two major architectural changes, and also putting the recommendation section kind of having addressed community level issues. Todd.
Michael?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. One item just popped into my brain. Throughout the summit, and it's also in the communique, there's this phrase, semantic content.
Mm-hmm.
Is that meant to be interpreted literally, or something else? Is there something else intended? And well, semantic
do,
content of what?
We do define that in the track aid synthesis, and it's in the summit,
okay.
as to what we meant. You know, fragments of ontologies, or you know, patterns or modules, common theories.
Yeah, it's in the opening paragraph of section 2 right now.
Okay, great. Thank you. As I said, I haven't read it yet. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, so apologies for, say, not getting this out sooner so everyone can get a really close read. But this discussion has been invaluable. And I say a lot of great comments on here. So, what I think we might just do is kind of, I'm not going to make any changes just yet. Like I mentioned these architectural changes, but I want to let people just kind of read this draft as it is now and add their comments. So Leo and I will probably get to this tomorrow, and we'll make the big change and while also incorporating all these other comments. And then, so then say by tomorrow afternoon, Eastern Daylight Time, there'll be like a new version with all of the, like say, architectural changes and things like that, but that also incorporate all the comments. So we'll have like the next 24 hours will be open for additional comments, particularly if you hadn't had the opportunity to have a close read of the document. Oh yeah, one other thing actually we will also be adding will be an executive summary, but that's like a one pager. It's kind of been traditional in earlier communiques. But I wanted to kind of have the draft first so then we all agree what we're summarizing. So that will come kind of, that'll be ready for next Thursday, but that's not appearing here. But I think after tomorrow, incorporating everyone's comments will kind of be much closer to having a, you know, reasonable approximation to the final product. And at that point, we can start crafting the executive summary, the one pager that is attached to the communique. Okay, any other comments? Okay, well, thank you very much, everyone. And on behalf of Leo, on behalf of Leo and I for all the great comments, and we'll be incorporating these. And so the idea for next Thursday will be what are we calling it here? The communique finalization, and so hopefully by then we'll have, like, we'll be getting like that final version out, you know, by Tuesday or so that people can have a couple of days to read it and make any final comments there at that session. And so that'll be next Thursday, April 17th. Just reminding everyone, if you haven't registered, please register. Links are available on the summit and symposium pages. Any other points, Peter, to remind people?
No, that's probably it.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, everyone, and looking forward to all of your comments and contributions. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.